¿Qué onda, mi gente? What up, people? Welcome to the other episode of Ya Estás Podcast. Episode number what, bro?
39, bro. Gracias a Dios, bro.
Episode 6, live on YouTube. So, yo, how you doing, my bro?
Bro, I'm doing good, man. Man, put the camera over here, bro. Doing good, man. It's been an interesting week. Work, fatherhood. Bro, fatherhood is our first gig, bro. That's our first job.
Yeah.
So we're full time.
Speaking of that, man, our guest today, man, this brother don't need no introduction. This is my boy, Arise from Kingdom Music. Yo, give it up for my boy, Arise.
Yeah.
What's going on? What up, bro? Speaking of fatherhood, man, you got a little viral kid in your hands.
I do. He's a handful, man, but super blessed, man. I'm this new journey as being a father, bro, is such a blessing. It's so rewarding, bro.
Amen.
I got a little taste of God's love for us, man.
Right. That's what I tell my son, because man, that boy's just got a huge heart, man. Like, he literally tells me he loves me like
super
multiple
humble
times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like overwhelming for me, right? It's like, oh, this is crazy. And I'm like, but I love you more.
Yeah.
And he'll tell me, like, no, I love you more. I said, boy, you don't even know what it's like to be a father. You know what I mean? Obviously, I don't like trying to put him down. But like you said, bro, it's in order to understand a
little bit fraction, of God, fraction of a fraction,
right, is to be a father,
right?
Because you know what an unconditional love for a human being is. And not just that, that it doesn't matter their status, it doesn't matter what they're doing in life, and if they're messing up, if they're doing good, if they disrespect you, obviously you get upset and you're gonna discipline. As a good father, you're gonna discipline, but that doesn't mean that you're gonna stop loving them.
Right. And they don't earn our love.
That part.
They don't earn our love.
That part.
We just love them.
That's it.
Hey, does your son ever come and kiss your arm?
Kiss my stomach. I don't know why.
Bro, it's they're like drawn to that. Like, my son will come and he'll get my hand, he'll kiss my arm, my hand.
Yeah.
And then he'll hug me, of course. But it's I remember kind of trying to do that to my parents. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a moment of where, like, I just need more of my parents, you know what I mean? But my son does that, man. And you feel the love, bro.
Right. You know what my son's been doing when he wants my attention and I'm on the computer working? He'll come from the side and be like, Daddy, Daddy. And I'll just, yes, son. But I don't turn around and look at him. He grabs me by the beard and yanks me. He says, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, son, you're killing me, dude. It's painful.
Bro, I want to meet that kid so much, man. Like, I see him as a little celebrity, you know what I mean?
Cause yeah.
Little celebrity.
He's awesome, bro.
It's funny what you were talking about flexing, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's been agradable, bro. He'll go up to anybody, hug him and stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Well, he gets that from his daddy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, bro, let's start off with just a little bit about your testimony. I know you shared with us before, but for the people that don't know about you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. So basically, man, I grew up Catholic. My parents used to take us to church, or if they wouldn't go to church, they used to send us off to like catechism and all that. So always knew about Christ, and I knew that one day I wanted to serve Christ. Mm. Like, I wanted to give my life to God, but I was going to wait until I got old, you know what I mean? Mm. So, my dad was a hard worker. He came from Mexico. He came from Mexico and lived under a tree when he was 13 years old.
And here or down
there? Yeah, in the U.S. He came from Mexico to the U.S.
Bro, tell us about your mom's, man, because I've never heard.
My what?
Your mom when she crossed the border with your dad.
Oh, yeah. This is after they met. So I'll get to that.
Okay.
So they met in the fields, right? And that's how they knew each other. He said, my dad went to Mexico. They're dating. Y se la robó. Y se la trajo para este lado, pues.
That's yeah. common, bro. Yeah. In Mexico.
Se la robó, yeah. And they wrecked on the way over here, bro. It's crazy. But, yeah, my mom, when she came to the United States, she had papers. She had all that. She had no need to cross the border the way she did. But my dad was so scared. Oh, pues se la robó. So she didn't bring all her documents and stuff. So she had to cross the border the illegal way with my dad. So, yeah, that was a crazy story right there.
Bro, that's the first and only time I ever heard somebody crossing the border illegally, being legal. Oh, man.
That's like stealing and having money, bro. Right? Like, why are you stealing, bro?
It is. Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. So, yeah, you pretty much grew up like most Mexican or Latino families, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I grew up the same way, but obviously I didn't have the fear of God, but I knew of God, yeah. right? And I think that was a foundation. Yeah. Like, the seed was planted in me, but, you know, I was living reckless. So, with you, like, how was it growing up? I know you're from the Bay Area, right?
Monteca. Yeah, so I noticed that over here you guys embrace the culture a little bit more, the Mexican culture, and over there it's different. Like, over there there's like farmers and stuff, so when you would go to school people would look down on you and stuff.
Mm.
So I was kind of stuck in the middle because most of my friends they would go to school for 6 months over there, and then the 6 months they would go to Mexico because they were over there. Their parents were over there on work permits.
Oh, on the fields.
Yeah, so...
Orale.
So, but me, you know... yeah, it's tough, bro. It's tough. There was a lot of racism over there. When I was in high school, I got expelled from high school, bro, because I got in a huge fight. And the teachers believed that it was gang-related. To me, it was a racist thing. They're racist. They used to call us the B-word and all that. So, I don't know if I could say that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can say that. Yeah, they used to call us beaners.
Frijolero. that's Chris behind the controls, bro.
Yeah, yeah, man. One day I was in high school, bro, and like, the football team, bro, there's, like, there's pochos. I don't know if you know what a pocho is. Yeah. So Mexicans that kind of lost the culture. But they would hang out with the white guys, and there was a lot of hijos de los farmeros, the farm workers and stuff. So one day I caught him picking on one of my little boys, bro, a little short guy.
Paisita?
Yeah, paisita, bro. He didn't even know English, bro. And I was like, bro, you're not going to treat my boy like that. So I organized this huge fight.
Give me some, bro. That was me growing up, too,
I organized a huge fight, bro, and I got expelled.
Oh, you organized it?
Yeah, I organized it. I was like, I'll meet you tomorrow here at the same time.
Oh, it was premeditated?
Premeditated, bro.
Oh, bro, yeah. You get expelled for that.
So I got expelled, yeah.
Dang. So they were whitewashed, the ones that were on the football team?
Yeah, super racist, bro, at that time. Antica? The high school was racist, bro. They took me before the board. I went before the board with my dad, bro. My dad didn't know English. And they're like, yeah, your son, he's not going to amount to nothing in life. He should just drop out because I had bad grades at the time. And my dad was a truck driver, and he told him, I never went to school, and I make more money than you, you, and you. Nice. And we walked out, bro.
Hey, bro, isn't that, bro, why would they say that, bro? Why would they declare that over your life? Drop out. Like, come on, bro. Like, what's up with that system, G? I mean, that's ignorance. You know that's ignorance.
I was messing up in school, but they don't understand why. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I was being bullied before. The whole reason I started hanging out with those people that were gang-affiliated and stuff was because I was being bullied. And these guys offered backup. They're like, if you hang out with us, we'll 100% back you up. So, that's why.
So, it wasn't gangs. It was more of... like race or racial,
it was power, a racial power thing by over numbers, there too. Bro. Power by numbers. Yeah. Like, hey, man, let's get together and defend ourselves.
In the area we're in, right there, Manteca, because it was white dominated, and then they even had like race wars with the blacks too.
Oh wow!
With the students, yeah.
So is it pretty segregated over there?
No more.
Oh, but it was.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. Manteca. The Indians took it over, bro.
Oh, neta?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of Indians living there now.
Orale.
It's a good town now. Yeah.
Nice. So, how is it that you came to Christ, bro?
So, let me clean that up a little bit, though, man. So right after I got expelled, my parents enrolled me to another school program. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific teacher that really took time out of her. She stayed there overtime to help me out to do extra curriculums. And she saw that I knew how to draw really good.
You remember her name?
Yeah, Stephanie Amesty.
Man, shout out to Stephanie. Yeah.
Stephanie Amesty. I'm still in contact with her, and I'm actually going to interview her. But she's one of the reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing, because she saw that I was really good at art, and she was like, she told me this, you know, you can make a living with your gifts. And I was like, no, I can't. And she submitted my artwork to this I forgot what it was, but I got a grant from it for college. So.
Let's go.
Nice. Yeah. Let's give it a round of applause, no, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Stephanie, Stephanie, she really poured into me,
Lord bless her.
So since then, I got into music. I was doing secular music at the time. I started networking with a lot of people. I started making a little name for myself in my city that I was living in. And I opened up the studio, and I partnered up with this guy. His name was Los Carlos, and he had the studio, and he was like, hey, you can rent a room for me. And I was like, sure. So I put all my equipment there. I started recording heck of people, and I was going through a lot at that time. I was in a relationship. I broke up with her. I lost my cars. I was just going in debt with my credit cards and all that. I was just doing really bad at that time. And I started going to church, and I just found myself at the back of that church asking God, God, you know, if you're real, I really need you to show me that you're real. And he did. One day I just broke down to my knees and I found Christ, man. I really had a real experience with him. Like, I felt like before that I had a whole bunch of weight on my shoulders. And when I accepted Christ, I woke up a new person, literally, bro. It, like, it was so much weight. It was a physical thing, bro. Like, have you ever had so much stressing, like, so much stress that you would feel it in your stomach, in your heart? And then the next day I woke up, bro, and I was free from all that. Praise That's God. Why nobody That's could God tell does. Me that Christ ain't real, bro. Yeah, I always go back to that moment.
Facts.
Well, it's going back to what we were talking about being a father, right? Like, you can't tell someone what it's like to be a dad, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't tell somebody what it's like to be in Christ, because you have to experience it. Like,
right.
You can't express that.
You can't tell nobody that human race is an accident. That's proof right there.
Oh my goodness.
Well, that's
proof.
That's just pride, bro. You know what I mean? That's just rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, it's just trying to, even when you know it's wrong, but it's the pride that makes us like, oh, well, no, but it's because X, Y, and Z, you know? But
yeah.
Whatever. So, bro, like, moving forward or fast-forwarding it, you know, you're with Kingdom Music.
Yeah.
Right? And you're the master behind the cam. I mean, you're with Kingdom Music and Hog Mob, because I know Seven claims that, you know, you're part of the mob, too. So.
Yeah.
But, man, the topic that we want to really talk about is impacting Hollywood with the Kingdom of God.
Right.
So tell us how is it that you started behind the cam and then what you're doing now?
Okay, so after I got saved, I was still recording secular artists, and I asked Christ to send me Christian artists. And that's not what God wanted. What God wanted, he wanted me to put music down and just focus on him. And he allowed that to happen by an experience that I had one time. I walked into the studio and everything was completely gone. Somebody stole everything. So that was the last straw. I was like, you know, God, I don't even want to do music. I just want to serve you. So for a whole year, I just served him. And that was it.
Bro, what an impact right there.
Yeah.
What you said, bro, that's a bar.
Right.
Because you were praying for something.
Yeah.
And God did, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite. I need you to focus on me.
Right.
Man, that's crazy. So they stole all your equipment?
Stole all my equipment. And it was somebody that we were recording. Somebody that we were recording, bro. And I ran into him at the barbershop weeks after.
Wearing your shirt.
And I saved his life, bro. You know how I saved his life? No, my shit. You know, I saved his life, bro, because there was people that I was recording that were like gang related, okay. And he stole their masters.
Oh.
And they wanted to get them, bro. And I said, no, don't worry about it, bro. I'll reimburse you guys. Just leave them alone. Because I felt like it was an...
You paid his fee.
I didn't feel like it was a personal thing. I feel like God allowed that to happen.
Oh, so you knew already at the time.
Yeah, I ran into him and I was like, hey, bro, I gave my life to God and I feel like God allowed this to happen. But you have my number. If you want to return my stuff, hit me up. He never hit me back up. And it's unfortunate, bro. Now, he died because his children were out and about one day at a park and some other kids came, stole his shoes. His kid's shoes, so he went to get his shoes back, and the kid pulled out a gun and shot him and killed him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate. But I was praying for him for a long time, though.
You reap what you sow, bro.
Bro, that's the same feeling I had. They stole my Integra, right? When I became Christian, they stole my Integra, and my mom's like, we're going to go report it. And I said, no, Mom, because the Lord told me the same. I had burnt. That Integra was burnt. So I knew right away, I was like, the same feeling. The Lord took it away. Save me. He saved me. And a lot of people find that very confusing to think that when you get exposed on something, like a sin, bro, that is saving your life.
It is.
When you feel embarrassed, God, that feeling is saving you, bro, because it's God putting light in that dark spot. Mm. So when you feel, oh, man, you snitched on me, or, oh, remember that God is exposing that so you can get rid of it, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You've been having that dude on off, on ghost mode, Christian. Yeah, ghost mode. No, it's fine. But you've been having the Holy Spirit on ghost mode, not listening to him.
Right.
And then the Lord has to expose it. Mm-hmm. And once it gets exposed, bro, you go through a moment of shame. Oh, I did this. But it's saving your life, bro. You're from that, bro. God is pulling it out.
Well, that's you humble yourself.
Humbling yourself,
and you find peace in it,
bro. I got caught watching pornography, bro. I thought it was the worst thing ever. My wife had to tell my mom, bro, and she was a pastor, right? Yeah. And but you know what? And I was mad with my wife. I'm like, man, I can't believe. And I spoke about it, right? It was only a couple times, bro. Gracias a Dios, I didn't get caught up. Right? Like, it was perfect timing. Right? And I told my wife, man, why'd you tell me? Right? I was like, why'd you tell me? My wife was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. Of course, bro. It's cheating.
Yeah.
Let's get it straight. So, when that happened, I went to... But the Lord said, hey, I'm saving your life.
Yeah.
Bro, now, bro, I'm careful with all that stuff, bro. Super careful. Even with movies. Like, if a scene comes... Bro, I'm sorry. People might criticize it, bro. But I fast forward. And even if it says, like, if I see a thing on Netflix and it says nudity, I won't even watch it, homie. Like, I can't even watch it because I take care of myself.
Yeah, right. That's good. That's good. So check this out. Like, that's why it's so hard to be a parent, right? Because when you discipline your kid, it hurts you. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a parent, you don't want to hurt your kid. But it's necessary for that kid to go through that pain so they can know what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God does with us, right?
Right.
And like, he takes away things, or he like exposes certain sins that we feel ashamed, we feel pain, but it's necessary to go through it so we can learn, right?
So, and I want to add to what you said too, you know, even when you want to discipline your children, it kind of challenges us as a parent, like, man, he's learning this stuff from me. Like, I need to step it up. I need to change this about myself, because he's doing this because he's seeing me doing it with my wife.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So
that's good. That's good. So, man, God took that away so he can pour it into you.
Yeah, the music. So I started doing music. I started doing Christian music. I joined this ministry called the Awakening 209.
With that pastor?
Yeah, Pastor Isaiah Saldivar.
He was a kid.
Yeah, shout out to Pastor Isaiah Saldivar, man. He got radically saved. I heard about these young kids that were in the home just preaching the word of God, and there was like miracles and signs going on. So I went there, and man, as soon as you walked into the door, man, you felt the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
Like as soon as you walked in there, man, there were so many kids there that you couldn't even see the carpet.
What?
Yeah, they were all sitting on the ground. There's videos on YouTube, I believe. Nice. Yeah, you guys can see those videos. But there were so many people there that there would be people outside looking into the windows.
Let's go.
And it was like when Jesus was at that house and they brought the crippled man and
yeah, exactly. put
him through the roof, right?
Exactly. There were so many testimonies, bro. I remember going in there one night and somebody was holding their crutches up. Because like when the night was over, they would turn off the lights and just play worship music and everybody start jumping. And that person had crutches jumping, bro.
Let's go.
Wow.
And like they got healed.
Miracles and signs.
Yeah.
Bro, you witnessing that? Oh, man, I'm pretty sure, bro. Like you're like, this is real. God is real.
Right.
Well, the convictions, Lord, that you're giving me are from you, not right. from what I'm seeing from other people.
Right.
So how was that experience with that guy, Isaiah?
Oh, like it was meeting amazing. Him? Yeah, it was amazing. It was just when I first saw him preach, I was like, well, it was very contagious, like that boldness that he had. And I wanted that. So I joined that ministry. I was a part of it. I used to travel with him all the way up to Canada. We went to the Philippines. That's where I met Z. Z's actually his cousin.
Mm.
So I met Z and I got really plugged in, man. And he's doing really good now, both of them. So, yeah. So then I bought a camera. I was still doing my music thing on the side. I bought a camera.
What was your first camera?
Panasonic GH4. I bought that. And I was rocking with this Christian rapper at the time. I don't know if you guys remember Illuminate.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, Illuminate. Shout out Illuminate.
Yeah.
But he was really involved tough with Seven and Hog Mob. Mm. And he hit me up and he was like, "Hey man, I got this artist Seven. He wants to do a music video." I was like, "Sure, let's do it." Pulled up to the scene, and when I pulled up, there's guys there. With like, there's beers on the ground. They're like drinking and stuff. And I was like, "What the heck? What is this Hog Mob about?" Like,
shout out to the mob, by the way.
But no, but,
were there old duels?
No, they were real beers. They were real beers, bro. But they didn't belong. Hog Mob wasn't even there yet. They invited some people to come act and stuff.
Okay.
So, but there's a testimony to that though. So Seven pulled up and we shot the video. And one of the guys that were drinking, he was an actor in the video. He ended up giving his life to Christ, man. Okay, it was an awesome testimony. So, yeah, bro. They uploaded that video on Facebook, and it went viral. It went viral.
Is that the one? What's it called? Is it
About Whatever.
About,
and that was unheard of at that time.
What year was that?
2014, 2015 or something like that.
Was it 15?
That was your first video?
That was the first video that I shot and edited, and it went viral. So he took me on tour, and I got to meet a lot of people, bro, and I've been busy since. But you know what's crazy? At the same time, when all that was happening, a few months after, I met Brian through my boy 7T. Shout out 7T. He's doing amazing things in Fresno, California. But
Brian's not from Manteca?
Brian Trejo, no. He's from Texas.
Oh, he's from Texas.
So 7T hit me up one day. And he was all like, "Hey, bro, I want to shoot a video. I'm going to bring that dude, Brian Trejo, out. He's never been out to California, so I'm going to bring him out. I'm going to take a leap of faith and do it." And I was like, "Do it, bro. Yeah, bring him out." So he brought him out. And 7T hit me up. He was like, "Hey, bro, I got to work. Like, and I know your job's very lenient." At that time, I had a recording studio in Stockton. I opened another studio up. And it was all Christian-based. I just recorded nothing but Christian content. And 7T hit me up, and he was like, "Hey, bro, I got nobody to give this dude a ride." Because Brian T, at the time, he didn't have a driver's license. And I was all like, "I could do it. I could show for him around for a week." So I connected with Brian T, and what stood out the most about him with me was that he was very genuine, and he was a man of God. Like, I was at a video shoot, and this dude, I was filming him, and he'll be like, "Here, let me grab that light." and he would move the light, bro. And that's unheard of. Like, a lot of artists, bro, they expect you to do it because they're like, I'm paying you to do this, so you do it. But he was a real servant. He was very genuine. And I enjoyed that about him, bros. And we stayed connected. And he invited me on tour as well. So
you got all these guys bringing you on tour. Yeah.
You gotta understand, bro, when I was doing videos around that time, there's no videographers. There's like two videographers, Christian videographers. Three, maybe four. I remember it was Jesse Vasquez, Will Thomas, myself, and I was the new guy. All these other guys were like veterans in it. And I don't remember anybody else. That was it.
Bro, and to be honest, bro, you are an amazing creator, bro. Like, people don't know, you know what I mean? But look up Arise, bro. Look up his videos. There's always a story. There's always an objective. There's always, it doesn't look dry. And, you know, I'm not criticizing any other people that produce videos. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes people are like, well, let's just do it. Like, let's just randomly just create something instead of, you know, figuring out production, figuring out location, having the right people around you, and being Christian. You know, quality, right? Because I love those. You know the that production. What is that called, bro? That they created, Fireproof. That ministry that creates those movies. Like, people used to think that Christian movies were like cringe, right? Like,
corny, no?
Corny, right? But now, like, them, bro, they make awesome movies, bro. And it's good to see people, brothers in Christ, that have the mentality of quality. I want to do quality for God. I want to connect myself with quality people. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody's watching, right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, you know, it's all about doing a work of excellence for the kingdom of God. So, we know you do excellence behind the cam with your editing and your creativity. So, you were sharing with me that now you're making that shift into not just music videos. I know you've been filming the documentary.
Yeah.
Which I was blessed to be a part of.
I might be on there too.
You might be.
Yeah.
With Tijuana, no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were there.
So this is
what was a crazy experience. Yeah. With Pastor Garay?
Yeah.
R.I.P. Pastor Garay.
Yeah, that's right. Rest in peace, Pastor Garay. Man, this guy had an amazing heart. But praise God that you have that on film. And you know what, bro? Like, God, one time he gave me this word. He said, you're going to be a bridge. And I'm like, what? You know, bridge? Like,
with toll or no toll?
No toll. Free toll.
So it's free? Okay.
Free toll.
I want to make sure if I'm on it, bro. I want to make sure I got money.
The kind that open up or?
The one for the ships.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was a long time ago, right? I'm just confused. Like, but then, you know, I got plugged in with the mob. I'm part of the mob. And then I meet you, and, you know, then I get plugged up with Mexico through the mob, right through DJ Joker. Shout out to DJ Joker, because he introduced me to some brothers that are plugged up in Mexico with the Christian music scene. And then I meet you, and then you share with me your music, and you're like, and you rap in Spanish. I call you the Christian Selena rapper, you know what I'm saying?
Selena?
Yeah, Selena.
Anything for Selena.
Selena los dinos.
Because, you know, all right, I mean, he can speak Spanish, but, you know, yeah. I'm sure you speak way better Spanish than Selena. But then I bring you down to Mexico. Like, I pull you up down there. And then you start doing things for the kingdom of God in Mexico. Like, now you're putting it on a film.
Yeah.
Right? So tell us about, like, how you got inspired to do this documentary, and also the plans that you have to impact Hollywood with the kingdom of God.
Honestly, bro, it's Christ, bro, because I wanted to be a rapper, bro. That's what I wanted to be. And it's andaba not crudo con menudo. It's not what I wanted to, it's not what I want. It's what God has for me, bro. And he gave me a gift, bro. Like, here's the thing with rap, bro. And it's different with Spanish, but in English, in Spanish is more natural, right, for me to rap. But in English, I have to fight for it. Like, it's really hard. And with videography, I don't, bro. It's a God-given gift. Where you were talking about excellence, it's just natural to me, bro. When I pick up a camera, it's, I can't even explain it. It's just a God-given gift, like the eye for it and all that.
Yeah.
The storytelling. Like, a lot of these videos that people, somebody came up to me this last week, and they're like, man, Surrender is one of my favorite videos. I was like, bro, literally, me and Seven were super tired. We got done filming 4 music videos before that, and Seven was like, let's just film in the garage, and there's a dirty car there. And we were super tired, and I was like, hey, just do this, I'll flip it, and do all these crazy effects, and it was a very successful video. It's just, it's a God-given gift, bro. God had this plan for me, bro. So, and one of the things that, you know, really stand out to me, bro, is when I meet people and their magnificent stories, their beautiful stories, bro, I see the sacrifice that people make. Mm. Like, I was on tour with Seven, bro, and he was sacrificing so much for the gospel. Like, we would sleep in rest areas, bro, stacked on top of each other in the bus, bro. There's like 18 guys in there, and we would just, our legs would be stacked on top of each other, sleeping to get some rest to be at the next event after we just did an event. That those type of sacrifices really hit my heart, right? And then I would go on social media, Seven would post a picture and the guys, and they would bash them. And I'd be like, bro, you don't know what these guys are sacrificing, bro. You don't know what they're going through. Same thing with Brian. You don't know what these dudes sacrifice. You know what I mean? Like, and I just wanted to highlight that. I wanted to highlight what God's doing in their lives. You know
and,
what I mean?
And then now that you say that is a lot of times for... Because I was there. You know, you're he's a rapper or whatever.
He's organizing musician. Another fight, bro. Like, when you were a kid, you're organizing another one. Like, nah, bro, y'all need to recognize.
It's a spiritual fight.
Yeah, bro.
Well, this is the thing, bro. It's like, we see the platform, and we're like, oh, I want that. I want to be on that platform. Right? Jeez. But we want to skip the process.
Oof, man.
You know what I'm saying? And like what you shared one time with Rai said, right, is, if you want an organic fruit, you got to let it go through the process, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want a fruit right away, then you got to add all those chemicals. And, yeah, it's going to be there, but it's not going to give you the nutrients because you
fast forward.
Fast forward. Speed up the process. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. So what you said right now is something that we need to keep in mind, especially for the new believers out there, that you need to go through a process because that's how God works. That's how he created nature.
Right.
And our spiritual lives is a reflection of God's creation. You know, like we have to follow those laws, right?
Yeah.
So you got all that in film, and then what inspired you to do the documentary?
Well, I didn't even know I was shooting a documentary. I just felt like God told me, hey, pick up the camera and start shooting. So I actually started shooting in 2015.
So you have footage from 2015 till now?
2015, yes.
Yes. Wow. Man, bro, come on. And then nobody can sue Netflix, bro.
I'm shooting right now. I'm shooting you. There's a camera over there. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, shoot.
It's like Big Brother.
I never get pranked, bro. You got me, bro.
Arise is the Christian Big Brother.
Hey, you know what surprised me, bro? And I'm just going to put it out there. So when I met you, it was in Tijuana. I lived in Tecate, bro. Now I live here in San Diego. But I was in Tecate. And Junior was telling me, oh, bro, Arise, bro. MG, you know, MG is like the biggest hype man.
Yeah.
MG's like, oh, shoot, bro, Arise, bro, menudo. You know what I mean? He kept saying that bar. And I was like, oh, so who's that? And he goes, oh, bro, look up the song Spanglish.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. I was like, oh, bro, these dudes got a vibe, right? And I was new to the rap scene because I've been doing worship, you know, my whole life, whatever. But so I go over there, right? And I meet you. We're recording the video for Los Elegidos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just said what's up to you, whatever. You were, whatever. We said what's up. And then my part came up, and I kept messing up. And I felt the pressure because there was a lot of people there. I know filming is timing, whatever. And you told me, you're like, bro, take your time. Throw all the chaos and the lights and the car and whatever, whatever. And then I was like, this dude, like, I don't know. You're probably thinking you're like, whatever, right? But to me, it was like an impactful moment because everybody was putting pressure on everybody. Like, oh, bro, you need to do it one shot. And they weren't even recording, but it was you.
Yeah.
But other people were like, yeah, you need to do this, right? And I'm like, oh, shoot, right? So I got to be on game, right? And then when I did it, I kind of messed up, whatever. And then you were like, no, bro, take your time. It's like, dang, this dude really got a heart in there. Like, he ain't the Tin Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, bro. You know, you've seen it down in Mexico. Got mad love for our brothers over there. But, yeah, there's a lot of competition, unfortunately. And that's what I've noticed. I mean, there's competition here on this side, too. But once you get plugged up with the right brothers, bro, it's like, it's literally look out, serve one another, love one another. Because that's how we manifest the kingdom of God. That's how may his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. May his kingdom come. That's how.
Yeah.
But that's how his kingdom is going to come, is through us and how we serve one another and love. We serve because we love one another, right? And the world is watching.
Yeah. That's kingdom culture right there. What are you talking
kingdom
about?
Kingdom culture.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, what are the plans that you got or God has for you to impact the world with the kingdom culture?
So, yeah, man, I think I'm going to do it through film. I have two movies in mind that I want to put out, and these movies are amazing.
Bro, let me be an extra there, bro.
You want to be an extra?
Just cleaning up, like maintenance.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
A good maintenance dude. I don't even have to have a line, bro. I don't even care.
Just yeah, no, for sure, bro.
The alcoholic maintenance guy.
We're going to test the waters. So I think the next thing that we're going to do, I'm going to do a short film with Brian. We're already talking about it. I met up with him this last weekend. Mm. And we're just going to go for it. We're going to shoot it like around October. So we're actually going to do casting calls for that. So if you really want to play a part, we're going to do a casting call out here in L.A.,
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, bro. Yeah. Let that opportunity just, man, Lord.
Bless it.
Man, for reals, man.
Yeah, it's going to be, because I really want the body, my brothers, to see what the team that I put together or God put together, but what we're capable of doing, you know what I mean? We could do a short film. We could do a whole featured film. And if we use the excellence, you know what I mean, which I think is a God-given gift, and we write the script correctly, and we make sure that the word of God and the message of God is in that film, I believe that a lot of people are going to get their lives changed through that.
Do you have a writer, or do you do the writing?
I do the, I help somebody help me with the dialogue.
Okay.
But I think of, like, the whole structure and everything. That's what I do. And there's a lot of pressure on me, bro. With everything that I create, there's a lot of pressure on me because I'm not the best speaker. I can't tell a story by speaking. The way I tell my stories are through video.
You see that elephant in the pond?
Yes. I don't think people know what you're talking about. I don't think we're recording live. We weren't live when we talked about that.
Yeah. Or you see the image in the clouds.
Yeah.
That's your style.
Some people see a cloud, and I see an image in the cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about your son. Is Caden?
Yeah, Caden. Yeah, we were talking about my son. Because I told him that my son, Esther said that my son's speech is really good, and I said he got that from my mom, but I think he got my creativity.
Mom.
Yeah, I'm sorry. His mom. Thank you. And I think he got my creativity because he sees different images and like, for example, that pond, he saw a pond and he saw it was a cow.
Okay. I switched everything up.
Yeah.
Bro, I hear something and something else comes out.
Oh, shoot.
I got ADD, bro.
Yeah, I do too.
But it helps me a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It helps me a lot, bro. To be, I mean, I'm not creative, but I love to write. Bro, my passion, bro, is to write worship music, bro. I love it. Like, I feel like worship is a moment of God molding you.
Mm.
Like, God changing something in you. I've had my best experiences in worship. And not in a church. By myself.
In a car.
In my room. In a car. Yes. Somewhere where nobody's present but me and the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. Those moments of, bro, I need a lot to be changed in me, bro. A lot, bro. Oh, and I say that because, that needs to be our approach. Because right. Once you feel like you got to figure it out, I think that's the wrong spot to be in.
Horrible. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to constantly be a student.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even in videography.
Danielson.
If you learn everything you learn in videography and you just stick to it and you don't become a student to the new technology that happened to me, bro. I got stuck with an old camera and everybody was doing videos with some new technology that was out. Like, I was pulling focus and all that. I don't know if you guys know what that means. Pulling focus is focusing handheld and all that. Man, they got these new Sony cameras where you don't even have to touch the focus, bro. It just does it for you. It makes it so much easier, bro.
It's like AI, right?
Yeah, it makes everything so... So it's like, even in that, in technology, you got to constantly be a student because everything's constantly changing, so...
That's what Kobe said, bro. That man dropped so many bars throughout his life. But he said, I am a student of life.
Yeah.
That's why he's one of the greatest, right? Because he didn't say, oh, you know, I'm this skillful now, like, I'm the best player in the NBA, I'm good. You know, he was a constant student, and he said life is his library, or was. And once he said that, I was like, oh, man, that's a bar. So now I keep my eyes and my ears open to anybody, you know, because unfortunately... we bring a culture of status and platforms, even in the church community, because we give more importance to the pastor or to the preacher or to the elder, the leader, whatever it may be. And we can learn something from the person that's cleaning the toilets. You know, they might have some knowledge that God is trying to speak through us, through them, just testing our humility, our humbleness. And because we're so focused on the platforms, we miss out on that teaching, right?
That's the beauty of this documentary. I interviewed a whole bunch of people with powerful testimonies that don't have, like, a huge name. And they've impacted me in a mighty way. For example, MG's testimony is powerful, and I feel like the world needs to hear that. You know,
yeah. Thanks.
Even Ernie was kind of known, but he was always trying to play the background. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ernie from Kingdom Music.
No, I don't know.
Remember that little piece of the documentary I showed you?
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's Ernie.
The one that
he used to serve. Yeah, bro. All he did was serve, and he made a huge impact to the brothers around us, bro, just by serving, bro. Just by serving. He used to serve Brian T and all the other brothers, bro. I got a funny story about him, bro.
Where's he from?
He's from Fresno. Yeah,
I had the honor and privilege to meet him, to do ministry with him, and when we went down to Tijuana.
Yeah,
that was crazy, bro. Like, before, I used to run from the cops, you know, when I was down there doing dirt. If you would have told me that one day I was going to be escorted by the cops and TJ, I would have said, come on, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't escorting me personally, but we went down there to do ministry with Kingdom Music, and Andy Ruiz was there. They were escorting us because of Andy Ruiz.
Yeah, that's why.
Did you say you had a quick story?
Oh, yeah, I got a funny story about Ernie, but no, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's where I met Ernie, bro, and Ernie was, like, just focusing on what people needed. Like, he was serving. I remember when we were down in the bridge, we went down to...
Yeah, that footage is powerful, bro. Yeah. The dude dropping the syringe.
Yeah, bro.
That's powerful, man.
And Ernie, I remember he was walking down the canal, and he slipped, bro. He fell hard.
Like, on his back, like...
Yeah, like, it was ugly, yo. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, the resistance is real right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally sensed, like, he just got pulled from his leg. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get him out. But, yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience with Ernie, bro. So,
yeah, Ernie was amazing, bro. He was a gold digger. But what I mean by that...
Yeah, what does that mean?
He'll see the gold in you, and he'll... dig it out of you.
See, I knew it, bro. I knew that was the bar, bro. Hidden bar. Hidden. Behind the scenes bar.
Yeah, no, he was like that, bro. Like, he really believed in my Spanish music, bro. And he was always trying to, like, bro, you need to drop more stuff. You need to do it. You just don't think about it. Just do it. Just do it. And me, I'm like Dr. Dre. I'm too much of a perfectionist sometimes, and I think about things too much. And I think that's one of my weaknesses, but... One time, bro, Brian hit me up, and he was like, hey, I need you to come down. We're going to shoot some music videos. Meet me at this hotel. So I went to the hotel, right? And they had, like, this convention center area on the bottom of the hotel. And there was a whole bunch of cameras, bro. People dressed really nice. Something, whole bunch of commotion. It looked, I don't know what it was. It just looked fancy.
Like a banquet?
Nah, it was like, I don't know. They had professional cameras there. So I went upstairs. I started shooting these videos with Brian T and everybody, and Ernie came upstairs and was like, hey, Rise, you gotta wrap this up. And I was like, why? He's like, I just signed you up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, to what? He was like, bro, La Voz is downstairs.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story. You know,
The Voice.
Yeah, The Voice, better than
Spanish. And they're filming, and I told them that you're really good at rapping in Spanish. So you gotta go down there. I signed you up. I was like, bro, I'm not going down.
Hey, bro, in that moment in time, bro, your stomach kind of was like...
Yeah, bro.
But you didn't even know what La Voz was, right?
No, I knew what The Voice was. There was a Spanish one.
Oh, you knew about it?
Yeah, bro. And, bro, so he signed me up. I knew about it, but I never watched it, you know?
Yeah.
I knew what The Voice was.
Okay.
So I was like, bro, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do this. And he convinced everybody to get behind him. Brian was like, it's your time, bro. You got to go.
Oh, what?
You got to go. And I was like, bro, I'm not going. So they took off to the show, and they left me there, bro, and I signed up. I went in there, and they had, like, three stages. They had three phases, I mean. So they had the beginning phase. They want to see if you could rap or sing or whatever. I made it through the first one. Then they did they're called screens, I think. And I made it through the second one.
Oh, shoot.
Bro, there was, like, less and less people going to each screen, right?
Right, right.
So on the final screen, there was only 30 people there. And there's this famous person. I walked into with the last judges, bro, and there's this lady there that I recognized. I think her name was Laura Pausini. Laura Pausini, bro. She was a judge. She was pretty well known.
Oh, yeah. Is she Italian?
Yeah, I think she's a singer or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's and Italian, I started rapping for them, bro, and they loved it.
What?
They put me
my
all the way to
the Voice.
Yeah.
The Voice?
They're like, hey, we're gonna hit you up for the. This is like the stage before the televised.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I made it all the way to them, but I don't know if they call me because I don't answer like random numbers. So.
Oh.
But I made it all the way to them, bro, and there's only like 15 people that made it.
You could have been on La Voz, bro. Jesus on there.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why they didn't choose me is because they wanted me to rap other people's songs.
Oh.
So I told them, like, I don't know how to do that. I just make my own original stuff.
Yeah.
So that probably wouldn't have worked for them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably wanted to.
Isn't that crazy how they bleep out Jesus now on TV? They remove Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
He's so dumb, bro.
Yeah, I haven't watched TV in a long time.
They're like, Jesus, See how I set you up? I set you up, bro. He gave you the layup, bro. They're like, Jesus. That's so dumb, bro. People need a... Bro, I love what you said about the pastor, Isaiah.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess up his name. You were like... Because I've been messing up names. You, wake up! Because, bro, it is prodigal son. What happened? It says, La Biblia dice que volvió en sí. Wake up!
It was that moment. In English?
I don't know. I don't read Bible in English.
I wonder... He came to himself.
I said yeah. Mexican guy, bro. I said a Mexican guy.
I thought for a long time Jesus was Mexican. But like, his name's Jesus, bro. He has to be Mexican. Bro.
No, when they say, hey... Because you know how people in America or Americans... Bro, they don't say a person by the name of Jesus. They don't say, hey, bro, call Jesus over here. No, they say Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Like, so Jesus is Latino, bro.
Have you noticed that we're the only ones that call or name our kids after our Savior? Like, you'll never meet a American person named Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bro, I knew this person at the hospital trying to name their son Jehovah, bro. And, no. And the hospital was like, no.
Oh, really?
Yes, bro. Like, what's going to be the name? Jehovah. Like, they're like, no. No. And I think maybe that's a standard because I've never seen anybody's name... The only that fake rapper, Jay-Z, Hova, no, dude, bro, I'm going to beat him up when I see him.
If you see him.
Yeah. I'm going to run into him.
Oh, shit. Just like, so, now that you were saying about Jesus being canceled, right, are you planning to go, like, make it mainstream, these projects that you have? Is that the
So, for example, one of the movies, you can tell there's going to be faith in there, but in the beginning, it's not going to be that much faith. You can tell there's something different about this character, but at the end, it reveals everything. So, like, it's the enticing. So, there's a structure. There's a certain way that you have to write movies, right? So... It's called the three acts. The three acts. First, you have the hook. Get people hooked in so they can keep watching. Then it's an enticing stage. So it's kind of like you could visualize it. It kind of goes up. That's the hook. Then it goes down. Then the enticing. That's where you get people to connect with this person. Like, there's something about this person that I like. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, boom, you build it up, and reveal it. And they're like, wow. This is how God feels about me.
Ooh,
I like what I mean? So that's how I'm structuring all my movies, all my films.
That's good.
It's basically a sermon, bro. It's just visual.
Yeah. That's what they teach you in Hermanéutica, no? Like, they teach you how to preach that, how to get to that fruit, how to get to that pinnacle. Bro, movies are losing that. Bro, there's some weird movies, bro. I can't watch movies anymore because movies are just...
I watch old movies. If I'm going to watch a movie, I always go to the old movies.
It's losing that touch, you know, and they're every movie is legalizing certain things that I don't enjoy. You know what I mean? Like they want to exploit trafficking, you know what I mean? Like, just stuff like that where I'm not into. And, bro, I vouch for you, bro. I'm going to call Netflix right now. Be like, bro, get my boy, just like the boss. My boy, right?
Hey, if you want your stock to go up, Netflix.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
You better sign a deal with my boy over here.
Alejandro's
He's gonna bring that quality film, yo. Because, like you said, bro. And I think it's the perfect time right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, and even if they don't, we have resources. Yeah. We could do it on our own. Let's have a plan. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Tubu. What's that other?
Peacock, yeah, something. We'll start a new one. We'll make our own app, bro.
There all these Netflix, go. There are so many options now. Tubu,
yeah,
Nubu.
So you know,
it's coming back.
You know, on Amazon Prime, anybody could open, like, upload a movie.
Amazon Prime,
yeah. Oh, that's right.
That's like TuneCore or DistroKid. Same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of indies in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of independent films in there.
Yeah,
they just don't push them on their main page.
Oh, so if you go to search bar, it'll come up like Google.
Yeah,
Okay.
I saw a Christian documentary in there. It was called Drop the Mic. It was talking about the... It was about the history of Christian rap.
Okay.
Oh, I gotta look that
up. Hey, Mijo, how do you know when to put an end on a project, bro? So, you just talked about recording from 2015, bro. Like, when do you make the decision, okay, this is the cap, let me push this product out now? Or, how do you know, bro? Like, how do you know?
I think when God tells you to stop.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, for example, this documentary that I'm working on, I'm going to just keep doing it until God tells me to stop. So I think everything's going to come at once, because I've been following different people. I don't want to just get a certain...
Phase?
Like, phase. I want to capture from the beginning all the way to, like, 10 years later or something like that. And I think they're all going to drop at the same time, because I'm still following these people. I mean, the Kanye West documentary, it shows when he was making all those hit songs till now. Thanks. And that was a wonderful documentary. Now, there's other documentaries I'm working on where it's just that, whatever that phase is and stuff. But I feel like this one's a little different.
Who inspires you, bro?
Apart from God?
Yeah, yeah. Like, who do you look up to? Like, is there another creator that you're like, oh, shoot, this dude's good. Like, fire.
I don't know of any, bro. I don't. It's just...
It's because you're kind of in your own lane right now.
Yeah, I don't watch too much TV like that. I do watch... You know what? There's a lot of Netflix documentaries that I look at, and I'm like, well, I like that.
Okay.
But I don't know who directed it. Like, I don't dig deep like that. Got it. Yeah.
So you look at certain content or material out there, and you kind of...
Yeah.
Take little ideas from there.
You like Vice?
Do I what?
Like Vice? Remember the Vice? Remember there were big Vice documentaries?
I've never seen.
Never heard of Vice?
Oh, yeah, Vice. Yeah, Vice. The internet thing, yeah.
It's my Spanish. My English, bro. You can't.
Yeah, I've seen that. Their documentaries are good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a journalist type of documentary.
Right.
I like more artful, more art, like kind of Netflix type of documentaries.
But it seems like you have a blend of those, because you're documenting.
Right.
Pretty much someone's story.
Right.
But putting the creative aspect at it at the same time, no?
Can't wait to see it, bro.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah. Shoot, for Ernie's life, man, I got...
Speak about that.
I interviewed his family. Okay. I mean, his brother. I'm about to interview his wife if she's okay with it. I got his funeral. I documented that. At his funeral, his brother gave his life to Christ.
Oh, man.
And now his brother's doing like outreach, and I documented that, him doing outreach, feeding thousands of people in Ernie's old stomping grounds.
Wow.
So he's continuing the legacy.
Wow. Ernie was a good hype man, bro. You know, those people have impact. And I'm not just saying like it's something that's gonna happen to everybody, but it almost feels like the Lord... It's gonna sound kind of like weird, but the Lord takes the good ones. Because I had a friend, he was a hype man, bro. He was, like, so devoted to God. Like, I would call him on the dot, and he would, let's go, right? And he got murdered. So it's like all these...
Oh, Robertito.
Yeah, Robertito. Man, bro, and bro, to this day, bro, I still miss him. Mm-hmm. Like, I miss him, bro. I miss his energy, his presence. I miss him. And I'm like, man, if he was here, what would be happening, you know? And he was, when I started writing too, he would always tell me, hey, let me see. And MG did the same thing. He was like, hey, bro, you should write raps. I'm like, but that person, that other person of being a hype, how important is that, bro, to have people around you that speaking life to you, bro? That guy signed you up for La Voz. You know what I mean? Like, people like that see...
Yeah.
What'd you say earlier, bro? He's a gold digger,
bro.
He's
a gold digger.
Finds the gold in you, bro.
Yeah.
And I think that is totally the Holy Spirit and God saying, hey, man, there's so much more in you.
Well, that's kingdom culture, as you were saying. Like, sometimes we want us to shine so bad that we, like, oh, no, no, no. I don't want the gold in you to shine. I want my gold to shine. But what did Jesus say,
bro? Stop it, bro.
But what did Jesus say, though?
Yeah.
If you want to be the greatest,
you have to be at the bottom.
You got to be the last one.
Yeah.
You have to be the, like, the
least. He says die to self, bro.
Die to self.
Die to self.
Mm-hmm.
You say, el que quiere venir pos de mí, niegues a sí mismo. That word, deny, bro, is your passions, put them on the side. Your wants, put them on the side. But God knows your heart so well, bro, that he'll give you your desires, bro. So even though we're putting our desires to the side, if God says, let me screen that, like the voice, they screen you, God's like, let me screen that stuff for you. And I'm going to give you stuff where you're going to be able to represent me, and you're going to be able to serve others and become a man of God where your family, your kids, your wife, because that's important too, bro. That's number one. Have your ministry at home in place. And it's hard. It's hard. You know it's hard.
Yeah.
We're trying to balance a bunch of stuff. But if we're able to tune that in, you know, God would do amazing things through that, bro. Because your family is going to see you as, you know, like they saw Ernie, bro. You set his legacy. Now people, his brother, for his brother to give his life to Christ. And you're saying, oh, well, it's a moment, right? He has that emotion. His brother just passed. But to hear about him now being bold and preaching the gospel, it wasn't just an emotion.
His brother didn't want nothing to do with Christ. He told me that Ernie would tell him, like, hey, bro, you need to give your life. I don't want to hear about that. He would hang up on him. And the only way he could find Christ, bro, is through his brother's death. So God allowed that to happen. He sacrificed him so that he could be saved.
I was shocked when I heard Ernie passed away, bro. I was shocked. Yeah. I was like,
but God allows things to happen, bro. He allows things to happen. The same thing with Brian and his brother.
Oh yeah,
Brian. Kingdom Music wouldn't be. It might not be what it is right now if his brother was still alive. Because through his brother's death, God's using Brian mightily, bro.
Well, his testimony, the fact that he forgave.
Yeah.
You know, the dudes that murdered his brother.
That person gave his life to Christ, the dude in prison?
I don't know.
I think that's what I heard.
I heard he died.
Oh, he passed away.
Yeah,
and then also Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon, you know, his... what was his brother's name?
Ryan.
No, not Brian.
Ryan Trejo.
Ryan?
Yeah. Woo.
Woo, woo, yeah. Woo, yeah. His son. Woo's son.
Brandon.
Brandon. I had the honor to meet him and do a couple outreaches.
Both of them. He has another son, too, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Little Ryan, yeah.
And, yeah, he was talking about healing. I would love to bring him on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reach out to him. But, yeah, like, his testimony is on how he got healed, you know, by God, losing his dad. And then he recently lost his mom. So, yeah, that's crazy. But, bro, I think we're hitting that time, so...
Flies by,
right?
I know, man. Yeah.
I mean, our podcasts are pretty long, bro, but it's just like it just flows.
I like this better than the Zoom to me, bro. I feel like we're just having a conversation,
right?
Yeah,
facts. But man, I think we hit that time to hit the segment of the
Yastas. Give me the whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, how much time you got? I mean, I'm sorry, 15 minutes. 15. Oh, shoot, bro. All right, bro. So we do the 5 Yastas questions, bro.
Okay.
Okay, so question number one, bro. How many religions have you practiced?
Oh.
One.
Okay.
Two, one. No, I was Catholic and I'm Christian now, so. Yeah, just one, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't... see this as a religion. It's a relationship.
Yeah. I just want to use the word religion because it gives us a separation. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Two.
Yeah, so two. Okay.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, nobody went Buddhist ever?
No. Did I go Buddhist?
Yeah, ever. I tried.
You know what? I dabbled in with atheism, but...
Like, what is atheism?
You just don't believe in God.
Oh, that's a religion?
But I was lying to myself. I guess it is. Yeah, it's considered a religion.
Yeah, bro, these people have conferences and everything.
Yeah, they have, like, yeah.
They're trying to prove there is no God.
Yeah, like science. I guess it was like Scientology before it was Scientology. I don't know.
Bro, so check out this. I want to read this, bro, because I wrote this down. It says, according to a 2021 survey, 29% of Americans do not read their Bible. And it says, while 11% read. 11! Right? So it says, other frequencies of reading their habits include 21% of the ones that don't read other literature, and then 12% read non-godly things. And it says, and it says 10% read or go into the sexual pornography, like story, love stories. And so, and 41% never read at all. So, but it, you know, only 11%, bro, read the Bible in the world.
America. Are you talking about Christians or people in general?
It just says general. 11%. And it used to be 43%.
Wow.
So the last 20 years, reading the Bible has gone down, you know, like 39%.
Yeah.
It shows.
Yeah.
It shows how our country is.
I think the internet messed everything up.
Facts, bro. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Like,
I mean,
yeah, knowledge, bro.
Yeah.
It's knowledge. The same reason why Adam and Eve fell. They felt they're tempted to have more knowledge. So now that we have more knowledge, bro, it's like having us get more distant from God. You know?
That's the main goal of technology, right? Is
right.
To stir us away from God. But what we need to do is use technology to advance the kingdom.
Yeah.
So check out this other one. It says, Christianity is growing in other parts of the world, including Latin America, Africa, and Asia. For example, in Latin America, the percentage of Christians is increasing by the year by 22%. And it's saying from 1970 to 2020, it's gone up 45%, bro. All Latin America and other Africa and Asian countries. And it says in Africa, the numbers of Christians has grown to 8.7 million. 8.7 million.
I think what's happening to America is what's happening to Israel. Right. Like, that was God's chosen people, and then they didn't.
I think what's messing everything up over here, bro, social media.
Huh? It's because they have regulations in other countries, bro. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Like, over here, bro, like, in order for you to be trending, and I'm talking about in general, like, secular, Christian, or whatever, you're basically building a little altar to yourself.
Sheesh.
And be like, this is my profile, worship me, type of thing. This is how many followers I got, this is my brand and all that. And when you start doing that, especially with TikTok, bro, because TikTok, you at least go viral once, bro.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
So many people on there.
Yeah, bro. So what happens is you start getting addicted to the likes, to the affirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, it's clinically proven that
a
dopamine is released in your brain when you go 100%. Viral.
Yo, so.
Oh, shoot. Wow.
Yeah.
So before we head to the next question.
We got nine.
My wife, she had her get together with her friends the other day, and her friend is talking about, you know, TikTok, whatnot. And she showed us this chick that goes live, bro, and has thousands of people watching her getting drunk. Like, she's passed out, faded, like one was her, what, like, literally.
Phone does she have, bro? That's battery life? Like, how does that survive, bro? Did you have it plugged in?
I don't know, bro. But it's crazy because now you have thousands of people's attention on you getting freaking trashed.
Yeah. It's trendy.
She would get drunk, like, on the floor drunk.
So. Let's pray for her, whatever her name is. All right, so question number two, bro. Since we've been talking about movies and stuff, who is your favorite actor, bro?
Ooh. My favorite actor?
Yeah.
My son. He can act, bro. He could act. But if it wasn't for him, man.
He looked serious when he was talking to that nurse. He looked serious, bro.
You know, I like Jack Black, bro.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So you like comedy? Nacho Libre is my favorite movie of all time, bro.
Really? Yeah, that movie's funny, bro. Got a lot of inside jokes, huh?
Yeah, Nacho Libre is my favorite movie. It's so funny, bro. Like, dry humor.
Yeah. Bro, even that Rock of School, what is that called?
The Rock.
School of Rock.
Bro, yeah, that movie's funny, too.
Yeah.
That movie's funny.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite actor?
Whew, that's a good one, bro. There's a lot.
Obviously,
Denzel's up there.
Yeah, Denzel's fire.
But Kevin, is it Kevin Spacey? No. Yeah, right? The one that got accused of being a molester stuff.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
forget
I don't know
that guy, bro.
No, but he's but bro, he's a genius. He's the one that did remember that movie Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Oh yeah,
assassin.
Yeah,
like that. Yo, that dude is a genius, bro. But he's a little crazy. So,
all right, question number three, Hebrews 11:6. I love this verse, bro. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him, bro. Bro, what does that Bible verse mean to you, bro?
Can you repeat it again?
Yeah. So it says, Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith is impossible to please God."
Yeah.
Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him honestly.
Well, I think it's to me is, you know, it's just having faith and believing in him. You know what I mean? Like, that's what faith is. We can't see God and stuff, but we know he's real. You know what I mean? So I think in good faith, you know, we do a lot of things for him. You know what I mean? And I feel like he rewards his children. You know, like, even for example, like in these documentaries, I just know that I'm doing these documentaries to please him, so that the gospel could get out there. You know what I mean? I'm not even looking for a reward from it, from the world. I don't need the world's affirmation. I just do it just to please God. You know what I mean? That's the only reason I do it.
The part where it says, "And he rewards those that honestly seek him," that's that part where you were saying, like, you do stuff without expecting God, because I'm doing God, you know, bless me.
Right. But look, check this out. You guys might see that I'm rewarded. Like, oh, man, God's blessed him with gifts, all these cameras and all that. I don't see it like that. I see it like I'm trying to pay my debt off. I owe God way too much.
Oh, man, bro. Bar.
You know what I mean? So it's all perspective, you know what I mean? It's all perspective and humility, you know what I mean? Because I know God could take all this away from me. I could wake up the next day with no arms and legs, bro. And you know what I mean?
It's un tronco.
Un tronco.
Hey, no, somebody said, I don't know who said this, bro, but they said, "Hey, if God would take your voice away, how would you preach the gospel?"
Ooh.
You know, he was like, with your body, love, showing people, honoring people physically. You know, through serving.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, bro, Jesus never revealed who he was. Right? To the masses.
Oh, yeah, he just said it. Yeah.
He said it personally?
He never said, "Hey, follow me because I am the Son of God. I am the Christ.
Yeah.
I am the Messiah."
He said, "Who do you say I am?"
Well, he asked his disciples that.
Yeah.
Right?
You're talking about to the masses?
To the masses. Okay. He only told the religious folks, you know, the Pharisees and scribes and all these cats, who he was, but to the masses?
Yeah.
He never said...
He did everything strategically, like...
Such a beautiful movie.
He loved, like, he served, he loved, he healed.
Yeah.
That's how he manifested the kingdom of God here on earth.
Yeah.
All right, question number four, because we're running out of time. What is something they misunderstand about Alejandro? What is something people misunderstand that you've heard them say, oh, bro, I thought you were like such or X or whatever? Like, what is something people misunderstand about you,
Alejandro? Somebody was going in on me online saying that I do it for the money.
Right.
What money?
Right.
Show me what money. Show me, bro. What money? Ain't no
screenshot
money.
Screenshot your bank.
There's no money in this. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, bro, like, I invest money. I'm always investing back into the kingdom by buying new equipment or paying other people to come help me and stuff. I'm not financially doing good. The only reason it might look like I'm doing financially good is God takes care of me and stuff, but my wife, she has a real good job, so.
Shout out to your, what's your wife's name?
Erica.
Shout out, Erica. You're doing it for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I'm a witness of that, bro. Like, I know you bust your back, literally,
yeah,
to do what you're doing. Because it's not just holding a camera and just, like, you know, filming. There's a lot of physical work that goes into it. Like, last night, I was trying to get together with my boy here. He's like, bro, I'm freaking tired. I'm my body aches. I need to rest.
Bro, for freaking my
drove 12 hours.
Yeah, man.
To 12 be here, hours to go and into do prison ministry.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And it was hot.
And it was 100 and some degrees, right?
It was hot, yeah. That was tough, bro. It was harder than shooting a wedding.
See? Oh, wedding, bro.
It was a wedding, though. Because a lot of people gave their life to Christ.
Dude, that's another bar, bro. Las bodas del cordero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so question number 5, bro, because we're running out of time, bro. I already said this 1,000 times. All right, so what is the difference? So we talked about religion, right? You're like iffy about it. So what's the difference between being spiritual and being religious?
I think knowledge could fluff people up.
Ooh.
And just because you learn the word, you could use it to weaponize Ooh. It, you know, beat people over the head with the Bible and stuff. And I think when you're spiritually led, you really have the fruits of the Spirit. You really love
Ooh,
people.
Let's go.
You're patient, you're kind, and all that. So I think the word of God could, it's good, it's always good, but it could also mess you up if your heart posture is not in the right place. It's better than not Preach. Knowing the word of God if your heart's in the wrong place, bro.
Oof, I told you, Fernando.
Bar. Another one. Man, you're jumping them bars, brother. Sheesh. That's it, bro. And a lot of people claim to be spiritual. Like, oh, no, I'm more spiritual, not religious. Right? But they say that because that's what they want to believe. But that doesn't mean it's true, because obviously we would know them by the fruits.
Yeah, you know, when they're loving, when they're kind. How they treat others, bro. It's not about the fancy words they say, the Bible and all that. It's, no, it's how you treat others.
That's it, man.
It's so simple, right?
It's simple, bro.
It's simple, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why it's hard, bro, because it goes against our flesh.
You have to deny
our
yourself.
Our flesh, bro, is like, our flesh has been doing whatever it wants to do for so long. That's what happened to me when I became Christian. Just doing it for so long, and then was like, hey, bro, you're gonna stop having sex. Your brother, my flesh was like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's.
But the Holy Spirit came, and he gave me conviction to resist. You resist the enemy, bro, you flee. So, I mean, I'm not saying, you know what I mean, the devil was involved there, but what I'm saying is that my flesh was involved.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit came, bro, and said, hey, I'm gonna replace it. And that's what God does, bro. God replaces it with something better.
See, the thing that 100%. We have to keep in mind is that
now I'm getting down every day.
he does gives us the way out, but we have to put in the work.
Yeah.
A lot of the times what happens is that we give our life to Christ and we expect him to show up and take care of everything.
We have to put in the work. We have to get up, read the Bible, and
deny yourself.
Yeah, deny yourself. Like, get on a diet. If you're struggling with sin, get on a diet.
Oh, shoot.
Fast.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, get on a diet, yeah, because you're basically telling your body no.
You're my nutrition, bro.
Yeah, so, huh?
You're my nutrition. Bro, we ran out of time, dude. Right. We always run out of time, bro.
Yeah, always.
Dylan's
always.
Over there moving. Christian's over there checking his TikTok.
Well, Everybody, thank you.
Thanks,
please,
everybody, bro. Arise, you know, thank you, bro.
Give us a like. Give us a comment. Share this, because this is not about us. This is about the kingdom of God. And, you know, a proof of that is we got our brother Arise from Kingdom Music in the building. So thank you, bro, for your time.
I want to get Appreciate Z in that. Here, bro.
What was that?
I want to get Z in here.
We'll make it happen,
bro. We'll drive out there anymore. We'll take Dylan and Christian on.
We'll bring him up. Yeah, because that would save us a lot more money.
Yeah.
Than driving the 4 hours going up there.
Yeah.
But thanks for your time, bro. God bless what you're doing. I know, man, God is going to do amazing things. And the reason why I know that is because of your heart. Not of your talent.
Yeah.
Because of your heart.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Praise God. Thank you, praise guys. God. And stay tuned. Follow us, subscribe, share, all that YouTube stuff so we can keep flowing. Peace out, y'all.
¿Quién vive?